This is Fresh Air. Before Bob Marley, reggae music was only marginally accepted in this country, even though the roots of reggae are in American rock and roll. Rock historian Ed Ward has some thoughts on this cross-cultural pollination.
Although the United States has long been the world leader in popular music, setting the standards and inventing the styles, our charts have occasionally been invaded from abroad, and not just by the British. What's really interesting is when the Third World takes American popular music and recasts it into exciting new forms. African and Caribbean novelty records date back to the early 30s, when some of the first calypsos had a run of success. In the post-war era, the first big Third World hit was by the Bulawesi Sweet Boys, a group from what is now Zimbabwe. Their catchy song Skokiane dealt with pretty, pretty Africa and was rewritten and re-recorded by numerous orchestras. All through the 50s, the record industry pushed calypso as a safe black music, but American teenagers, in love with rock and roll, resisted. Then something very weird happened. The mid-50s explosion of New Orleans rock and roll was blasted into the Caribbean by powerhouse radio stations in New Orleans and Miami, and in Jamaica, people listened and loved what they heard.
I'm walking, hear the need, I'm talking, find you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me. I'm lonely as I can be, I'm waiting for your company.
That beat spoke to Jamaicans, and since American records were expensive and who knew when Fats Domino might actually play, Jamaicans decided to copy that beat and make their own records. Trouble was, they got it wrong. Records like Millie Small's My Boy Lollipop had the beat turned inside out somehow. Jamaicans called it ska. My Boy Lollipop was an important record, although it wasn't much of a hit here. Produced by Chris Blackwell, the young heir to the Cross and Blackwell marmalade fortune which had been made on Jamaican sugar, it was the first Jamaican record to be a hit in Britain and helped him start Island Records. Other record companies got the ska bug, and RCA had a hit in the States with Prince Buster.
One, thou shalt have no other man but me. Two, thou shalt not encourage no man to make love to you, neither kiss nor caress you, for I'm your man, a very jealous man, and is ready to lay low any other man that may intrude in our love.
Buster was a jukebox repairman in Kingston and a local hero whose young protege, Jimmy Cliff, had sung at the 1964 World's Fair in New York with Byron Lee and the Dragonairs. Ten Commandments of Man came out in 1967, just as Jamaican music was changing, and in Kingston, ska was out in favor of another beat, called Papa Top by some and reggae by others.
Get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir. So that every mouth can be fed. Oh, me
Israelite.
Get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir. So that every mouth can be fed.
Oh, me Israelite.
Oh, wipe on my kids. And I leave me, darling, she said I was yours to receive.
Oh, Israelite.
Israelites by Desmond Dekker and the Aces was a mild hit here in 1969 and might have established reggae had it not been for two things. One, Dekker and his band were Rastafarians and refused to fly, so they never toured. And two, their follow-up was a brilliant tune called Itmek, which was quickly suppressed after it was discovered that the title meant something particularly horrible in Turkish. you were better off with an instrumental, like David Ansel Collins' Double Barrel. Another thing that stalled reggae was race. Reggae came into its finest period just as America's underground FM stations were ridding their playlists of blacks. And many American blacks despised West Indians.
Many rivers to cross, but I can't seem to find my way over.
By 1972, reggae was just another one of the sounds competing for American rock and roll fans' ears, although Jimmy Cliff's great performance in Perry Henzell's film The Harder They Come probably kept it from slipping out of people's minds entirely. Too late, Chris Blackwell found the international caliber star he'd been searching for, Bob Marley. And although it continues to influence and occasionally show up on the charts, reggae today is just another reminder that pop music in the Third World is something we influence but don't own.
Ed Ward writes for the Austin Chronicle.
Daylight come, I may wanna go.
This is Fresh Air.